Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, and welcome to Alaska. Yeah, I just returned from a short visit to Alaska and just thought I'd share some different things, some of my experiences there. And if you've ever been to Alaska, or maybe not, you may know or remember, been told, that Alaska was the 49th state to enter the Union in 1949. How big is it? Well, you know, when you see a map of the United States, you see the 48, and then maybe down in the corner, you see this little square with Hawaii and this little square with Texas in it. And so it kind of gives us a wrong perception, because Alaska is actually about twice the size of Texas. So no, Texas is not the largest state in the Union. The coastline of Alaska is more than all of the other coastlines in the lower 48 put together. And what state is the most eastern state in the United States? You got it, Alaska. And you go, what? Yes, remember those Aleutian Islands string out, and they go so far that they are in the eastern hemisphere. The last ones are in the eastern hemisphere. So Alaska is the only state that touches both the Pacific and the Atlantic Oceans, and it is in both the western and eastern hemisphere. So Alaskans are very proud of their state and like to tell us about their state. As you know, most people are from the state where they were raised or where they have the best memories. And during this time, when I was on a couple of tours, that the guides were young men who were born in Alaska, Alaska raised, and full of information. So that always makes it more interesting. Now, when you think of Alaska, what comes to your mind? Maybe whales, bears, other fish, glaciers. Well, none of those were on my agenda. I had a different picture of Alaska because I spent most of the time in Anchorage and in or near a small town about the size of Atlantic, just a little smaller than Atlantic, called Palmer. I was there because I attended a conference of the Agriculture, Food, and Human Value Society, along with Gil and Ardith Gillespie. They both gave presentations at this conference, and so I was sort of involved with one of those reports and just thought this would be an interesting experience. And it was. But if I want to see Denali or glaciers, I'll have to go back another time. That's not to say that I was disappointed. We did, on one of the tours, I did go high enough, one of the, not nearly the highest pass, but Hatcher Pass, which is near an old mining camp that was closed, a gold mining camp that was closed in 1943, so not really all that old. So got out a little bit, and then, as I say, visited the Palmer area, and it is known for raising local produce. That's one of the farms we visited. Another farm we visited was a musk ox farm, and then we visited a farm garden in town, where there were mostly immigrants, and the work together with a lot of people in that community to help teach people English, help provide a living, and just were very an important part of the economy. So what are some of the other observations that I wanted to share with you? I have to talk about food, because that's one of the important parts of the conference. And because of that also, we had great locally raised food. Now, locally raised food in Alaska, it, on one hand, is a challenge, but on the other hand, it is something that's been in their spirit for many, many years, because year-round food sustainability was a part of the lives of the early Alaskans. I mean, they fished it when they could grow things, they preserved those things, and they maybe use some foods that we wouldn't think about using. But right now, Alaska imports approximately 95% of its food. And that depends on uninterrupted shipping routes. So there have been occasions, not many, but occasions when the shelves were nearly empty in the grocery stores because of some shipping problem, you know, and that could have been for several reasons. Also in that shipping problem or challenge is the amount of time that the food has to travel. So much of the food is not very fresh by the time it leaves its destination and is shipped to Alaska. So you can imagine Alaskans are very interested in becoming more self-sustaining, and that means raising more of their own food. It is so important that the Museum of Alaska, and this is in Anchorage, had its almost entire display, a new exhibit that related to food. And so they were growing food there by hydroponics in the museum. But they also went back and showed in history, you know, kind of the, again, the older Alaskans, you know, lived on a lot of fish, lived off the land, and made it. You know, they're still here to talk about it. So just a couple of kind of related interesting things. We did have wonderful, wonderful food the entire time we were there. Lots of fresh salmon, some of it grilled, which was absolutely yummy. Lots of vegetables. But the vegetables, you know, you hear people talk about those humongous heads of cabbage. Well, it's not quite the season for that. A little later, maybe a little later in July or even August, is when you'll see the biggest vegetables being harvested. Now they're more normal size. Lots of greens, carrots, just lots of different things that are available. Lots of rhubarb. Yep. Rhubarb used not only for food, but for also landscape decoration. One place we were had planted a rose bush and then a rhubarb plant, a rose bush and then a rhubarb plant, really pretty together. So being sustainable, being edible, but also a part of the landscape. Now, tomatoes, on the other hand, a bit of a problem. Not a long enough growing season. And you might think not enough warmth. And in many cases, that's true. And I'll get back to that temperature. Some people want to use those foods that are from Alaska. So one person who visited with us is the chef for a care center. She really works on serving the foods that the older people there would like to have. And one of them she mentioned was fish head soup. And you're going, maybe not on my menu. But that was a really favorite of many of the people there. It's kind of like, you know, soup makes us feel kind of at home anyhow. And that was one of their favorites. Another night we had a Turkish dinner, and chefs from Turkey prepared that, which leads me to mention that this county where we were in Anchorage is the most diverse county in the United States. So no big vegetables, but flowers flourishing everywhere. The snapdragons were maybe 3 to 4 feet tall, which is at least double what they would be here, and the begonias were absolutely gorgeous. They also are making a business of peonies. Yes, peonies is one of the products that they are really marketing, because you think about when our peonies should bloom, usually about Memorial Day. Well, peonies in Alaska are not going to be blooming until later in June, about wedding time. So they've really discovered this market and have really grown different kinds of peonies, and they were gorgeous, let me tell you. So that's a marketing problem. And I want to relate that to global warming. That's a term you use often there, is global warming and how that affects the whole industry of growing and providing food. So much to tell, and things that I hope people would enjoy hearing about that are not the usual things you think of when you go to Alaska on a tour. Great time, great hospitality, just wonderful seeing lots of people and meeting lots of people. So If you're planning a tour to Alaska, well, remember, it is the biggest state in the United States, and there are many different things, many different kinds of temperatures. And by the way, it was 80 degrees there almost every day. So until next time, think Alaska and learn more.